Reichman University.
Sunny Side Up, where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly Leshock.
Hey, I'm Orly Leshock.
Hi, I'm Leora Baxt.
And sadly, our amazing editor, Amy Hittery, is not here with us today.
We miss you and we love you.
You're listening to Sunny Side Up on Audioversity.
This is a mental health podcast where we talk about anything from childhood to parenting styles to coping mechanisms
and everything in between.
We want to provide you with a new and fresh perspective and not just facts about mental health.
Let's talk about it. You feeling scrambled, Leora?
Honestly, today, not so much. I'm kind of in the mood to reminisce a little bit.
Yeah. Reminisce about our gap year?
Yeah. Are you down?
I'm down. I feel like I want to share with the world my experience and everything I went through that year.
We had a huge turnover.
Like crazy
a huge
year.
Turnover.
Probably like my biggest year of growth.
Yeah. We kind of wanted to share our experiences and our memories and our growth and just, you said that already. So for background, me and Orly did the same gap year. We attended Bar-Ilan XP, which stands for experience.
Bar-Ilan experience.
Orly, you want to tell them a bit about it?
Tell you a little bit about it. Basically, it's a program. It was about 130 kids. You go and you have class 4 or 5 days a week. Sunday, four days a week. Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah.
And they provide you with transportation. You live on a campus with the actual program, but like away from Bar-Ilan a little bit.
Yeah, Bar-Ilan has its own campus, to clarify, like their university campus. We have our own little kibbutz looking kind of situation.
Kind of situation, but every day they bring buses and we go to school and we take classes that interest us. And we can get college credits for it. And during the night, they have programming, and every Sunday's a trip, and sometimes they have Shabbatones, and
extended trips also.
Yeah, exactly. All in all, they plan everything out for you, but it's a step into real life.
Yeah, definitely a very, very small step, but it is a step. I think it was a modern Orthodox program. That entails just a lot of diversity within the program, especially our year. A lot of the kids, all of us together, it was just a big diverse group, which I think was really awesome to just see the different perspectives, see who cared, see who didn't, see who grew, see who didn't. But it was pretty awesome.
Diverse not only in the sense of like their religious stance or their religious background, but also just like you got people from Panama, you got people like me from Texas, you had the classic group of New Yorkers. You had some, we had an Israeli, like we had a lot of people that were Israelis raised in America, but like we got people from Israel.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Very cool. So why did you choose Bar-Ilan?
Well, more so why did I choose a gap year? I think would be because first of all, it's a very common thing to do in my community, my Jewish community. To just take a year off. And usually it's directed more towards yeshiva, which is more of a religious gap year where you learn Torah and you gain a lot of different perspective. I think I chose this gap year, Bar-Ilan XP, in particular because I found interest in the diversity that the program offered. I think it was a beautiful way to introduce like being spiritual, but just through a more relaxed way, and it kind of allowed you to do the pushing for yourself instead of these teachers and these rabbis kind of pushing and
like pushing their agenda.
Yeah, and sometimes people call it like you're on a high after your seminary year or your yeshiva year, and you'll see this girl only wearing skirts, only wearing long sleeves, talking about the Torah in such a spiritual and high educated way. But then, like, 3 months later, you'll see them chugging down a beer and wearing short shorts and a tank top, and absolutely no judgment. I'm just saying it's a genuine process. For me, it was a genuine process.
I think my answer is kind of similar. I just want to expand on it a little bit. I wanted something that I could grow, not just in Jewish ways, I think also mentally, something a little more chillaxed, less rules in the sense of you don't need to wear skirts and cover your collarbone and whatever, just because, like, you're right. A lot of the times, like, it's so easy to do it in the environment where you have 100 girls doing that as well.
Yeah.
And where that's just the norm. And then you go back to America, you go back to your previous life, and it's so hard to do everything that was so normal in your environment in Israel. It's so hard to bring that in and stick to everything you were doing for a year. And then it becomes kind of, what I really didn't want was, like, to not know who I was and why I was doing everything I was doing. And I chose Bar Ilan, specifically Bar Ilan, because I wanted to connect to my spirituality. And if I touched into my, like, what rules I wanted to keep, then great, you know?
Yeah.
But wanted to touch on my spirituality for sure.
That's unreal.
And right? I think you get that just in general from being in Israel.
Yeah. And it also takes a lot of open-mindedness to just, because I'll let you in on a little secret. Like, there were kids on our program specifically who literally just wanted to come and party and live a life away from their parents just so that they can do whatever the fuck they wanted. And I think that now, like, looking back, I'm like, that's okay for them because that's what they wanted out of the year. But it's also amazing that we got what we wanted out of the year, whether we realized it in the moment or not. And we'll touch upon that later on, but it's pretty cool.
But honestly, even in that sense of, like, they just wanted to come party for a year away from home, even those people, I really believe, gained something.
So much.
Like, gained a sense of independency, a sense of, like, emotional maturity, even just being away from home.
Yeah, and I think all over Instagram, like, you see all over these people who you thought were just, like, party animals and wanted to, like, fuck around a little bit. And now you're like, they're opening up businesses, they're traveling the world, and they're only 20 and 21.
Yeah,
I'm like,
crazy.
Yo.
I'm like, why is everyone doing something with
I'm
their
just
life?
I'm just sitting here.
I have my little podcast, and I'm okay with that. I love it.
We love it.
But yeah, I think in general, that's what gap years are made for, because you're not, as much as, like, the American mindset is, like, go to school for a certain amount of years, X amount of years, and then work for the rest of your life. Like, I don't think
stressful.
It's stressful. I don't think that that's what the approach should be. Like, I think a gap year gives you, you just completed 18 years of the school you were supposed to do. Take a year off. And even though we were going to class, we were in a university.
Were we really?
People got credits for it. That's all I'm saying.
We did.
No, like, we were going to class, whatever, but it was
so nice not to have that, like, expectation or, like, having, oh, I have to go to class in 3 months again. Like, you, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But what, okay, so now that we've kind of touched upon a little bit of what we gained and, like, kind of who we saw flourish after, what did you personally gain, you know? I think there's a lot of subsections to that question, so we can go through it.
I think I've touched upon this before, but I was always an independent child, and all of high school, I was craving to be out in the world.
Yeah.
Craving to finally be, not financially independent, but independent.
Oh, we not financially independent.
But independent. And I think that was something that was not easy. And I really, like, I gained so much perspective because I went through such hard things on my gap year. And just being away from home is hard in itself. And it made me think, like, I gained so much perspective in the fact that, like, going through those hard things that you have to go through, like, when you're finally on your own for the first time, builds so much character and maturity. And it really, like, gets you in tune with yourself.
100%. 100,000%. I say that a lot. But so just to add on the independence point you've been making, I think that Bar Ilan really set us straight and set us and prepared us for independence. Like, it genuinely was a stepping stone into independence, but it wasn't fully. Obviously, we mentioned before that they gave us transportation. They always had guidance, always mentors, always someone around to ask questions to. So they made our lives easy, so to say.
The transition. Easier.
Yeah, they set us up with dorms and medical insurance and
food vouchers,
which were unreal, by the way.
We ate at the hospital every day.
Yeah, that's a bit concerning to say, but but no, really, it really, even if you didn't notice it in during your gap year, I think that after the gap year, when you reevaluated, you were like, whoa, like I can do shit on my own now.
100%.
Like, why don't you share your hospital story?
Okay, guys, I'm going to try to make it brief. But basically, we went on a really insane Poland trip to visit like the camps and everything. And it was a very eye-opening experience. That's a whole other story. We were on our flight back and my stomach was killing me. And I thought I was just like, you know, like not eating normally, whatever, blah, blah. No, I like literally woke up from my nap because we landed at 6 a.m. Woke up from my nap. Insane pain, whatever. Call my mom. I'm like, I think I have appendicitis. She's like, go to the hospital. What are you doing? So I went to the hospital alone. Well, like with a friend, but without any parents. And I was 18.
It's yeah.
Kind of crazy. And it took them the whole night to diagnose me with appendicitis, even though I literally told them I have appendicitis. And let me just tell you, do not get surgery in this country unless you absolutely need it, because that was the worst experience of my life. They yelled at me. They threw pillows and blankets at me. Like, they kept pushing off my surgery, even though my appendix was about to burst. It was crazy. But it kind of made me realize, like, if I can do that with just the help of the support of friends, I'm essentially doing it alone. And I could do anything in this country.
You could do anything.
I could do anything in this world.
Side point to that story.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I walked over immediately. It was a Saturday. And like I was still like kind of, you know, observant Jew, whatever. But I got that text. I ran over to the hospital. And the moment I get there, I pack some socks, some stuff, some underwear, whatever.
This was post-surgery?
Post-surgery. This girl's high off her ass on these medicines that the doctors gave her, and I bring her socks. Okay, they're black, high, what do you call them? High rise socks, and I give them to her because she needed socks, and she goes, "No, no, I don't want those socks. I don't want those socks."
No, she starts putting them on my feet, and I start freaking out.
Freaking out that she's like, "They're too tight. They're too tight. They're too tight." Okay. What do I do? What do I do? There's no other socks in the room, so I take off the two socks from my feet, which were breezy and airy apparently, and I put them on her feet, and that created our love story, our friendship story.
We definitely bonded in that moment, even though I had no recollection of that until I was told.
If you can take your socks off from your own feet and give them to your friend in need, you're a real one. So
you're a real one. You a real
not
one.
Not to toot my own horn.
Toot toot.
But let's go back to our point, like of what we gained. I think also we kind of moved from when we're in high school. You're making situational friends, right?
I don't think you're making situational. Your friends are situational.
Your friends are situational. They are. So you realize what friends mean to you. Number one. And number two, you kind of detach yourself from this situational perspective. Like, you're like, I was put in a class with them. I've been in the class with them for years and years and years. Of course I'm going to be friends with them. Of course we're going to go get ice cream together after school. Like, you're going to do all these things with them. But you hit your gap year and you're like, whoa, there's so many new faces. There's so many new personalities, people. And you're like, what do? I get to choose. You got that opportunity to choose.
100%.
We chose each other.
Aww. 100%. And that's not to say like I don't still have relationships with people in my grade, but my grade was 10 people. Like, yep. And I felt like an outcast. 10 people. And I didn't fit a certain mold.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad thing to fit that mold. It just wasn't who I was. So
right.
when I got to this program, for I jumped from 10 kids in a grade to 130 kids. The world was my oyster.
Oyster, dude.
And I met these incredible people who really, I felt seen for the first time.
That's really beautiful.
It was really beautiful.
You're my world, bro.
You're my world, bro.
But also, like, taking it further from even being in the gap year, like, after the gap year, we all made our personal, our different friends, whatever. But you kind of realize, like, who you keep in touch with also. So, again, like, you're going into a gap year, new faces, new personalities. But, again, it's situational because, like, those are the people you're surrounded with. But what takes the situational out of it is, like, going home, separating. Literally, I came to Israel and a lot of my friends stayed in the States, and seeing who mattered and who really wanted to speak to you. Vice versa, who I wanted to speak to.
The effort.
Yeah, the effort needed to be there. And now I've realized, like, kind of grouped my friends, unconsciously, whatever, and realized, like, who's making the effort and who's not.
Yeah, I think it was a classic joke we would make towards the end of the program that the program was designed as a, like, cruel psychology experiment, that they make us live on top of each other, they make us become family, and then after 10 months, we all just have to separate. And it was, we always joked, like, this is such a cruel joke, what is this? And it's true, like, you live on top of people for a year, and, like, it bonds you for life.
Yeah, it bonds you for life.
But you're right, it really, a lot of the friendships didn't last, like, they fizzled out because people just weren't making the effort.
It was sad, but it was also, like, it was bound to happen. And also, we got very comfortable and happy with what we've got. And I think that's a very important lesson to learn.
It's also important to realize that, like, friendships fizzling out doesn't have to be a sad thing. Nope. Sometimes it's just they served you a purpose and you served them a purpose for the time being. Like, and the friendship was so beautiful for that time.
Yeah. I think also gap years it. Like, inevitably make you realize that. Like, make you realize that, especially since you're home. Like, you're away. You're doing the thing on your own. And you're figuring all this out with no extra help. These, like, you know, these mental challenges.
We keep talking about friends, but I kind of want to bring up, like, parents. How did your relationship with your parents grow or not grow? Or
I think, for me, actually, me and my parents' relationship grew, like, it flew through the roof. Like, I don't know what shifted in me, but, like, I started to really appreciate them. And I just don't know where it came from. And I think throughout high school, I didn't have the worst relationship with my parents. I never really did. But there were some really challenging times, and I did block them out in the sense where, like, I'm a teenager, I can do whatever I want, and I'm gonna go off and, you know, classic teenager stuff. But going into my gap year, I don't know. I wanted to call them and tell them about my accomplishments and my days and how I've been enjoying Israel. And that really, like, although it was surrounded by one thing, you know, just being away from each other and missing each other, I grew up and I realized how much I need to actually appreciate my parents. So it forced me to do that.
100%. I think I also, on my end, like, I also got a lot closer with my parents because I started understanding their personalities more and more. Things that I would have never seen if I've stayed my entire life at home. I started understanding that my mom doesn't like to be called every day, and that's okay. We can catch up every other day, and that my dad does like to be called every day or multiple times a day. And those little things that I would have never known, you know? I started learning more about them and also realizing that this is their first time doing everything.
Yeah, so everything.
Everything we throw at our parents, they're handling it for the first time. Cut them some slack.
Yeah.
That's what I really gained.
Yeah, there's a lot of different perspectives on, like, how your parents' relationship grew or didn't grow, but thank God we came out this way and we gained perspective and we gained appreciation. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Just to finish up, like, the parent talk, when my parents came to Israel to visit and I was out with my friends at 11 o'clock, I get a call from my dad being like, where are you? Come back. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I've been on my own for a couple of months. Like, let's, I sat down with them and I talked to them and I'm like, I know you guys care, but when you guys aren't here, like, what are you gonna do? I come back at 4 a.m., you know? Like, what are you going to do? Like, you have to, I had the conversation with them of like, you have to trust that you raised me right with the right morals, that I care about myself, that I'm going to do the best in this world. And like, you guys have to like, let go a little bit. And they did. And that was just a crazy shift to see. In
changed
their
the games. It changed the game.
Yeah.
So we've obviously gained a lot of good things. We've really, really gained a lot of perspective. But I personally had a lot of things that I didn't gain, and a lot of challenges and some really bad, shitty moments that I wouldn't want to do again, personally.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if we're going to get a little technical, like, I got into smoking weed during my gap year. And I think it was so intensified and everyone was doing it and everyone was vibing and it was one big fat chill all year. And that was something I didn't like for myself. It led into these last 2 years that I've been out of my gap year. And I'm not appreciative of that. And also, like, I think it was also just hard mentally because, like, you feel really lost as well as feeling really secure. You feel really lost.
It's this weird like balance of, you know who you are, but you have the entire rest of your life to figure out more things about yourself.
Yeah, it kind of scares you.
It's really scary.
Like, you're literally like, oh shit, like, I have to do these things to be better. I have to constantly do them. That was the word, the consistency. Yeah. Like, when we knew that we were transferring from our American universities to Reichman University, we did not know, like, what was to come in terms of independence and adulthood. Like, we were set up in some ways from Bar-Ilan, but we had no clue.
No clue.
And that, I think, scared the living hell out of me because I think I was just, I felt so lost.
I agree. I think...
Did you feel lost? Like, do you feel lost? I don't know. Like, I felt... at times, things were falling apart for me.
I felt pretty lost in certain senses, but I also... And maybe this is crazy, but I just feel like being in a different country makes you mature faster than, like... Not to put anyone down, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, like, but makes you mature faster than staying in the country that you were raised in. You know how everything works. Here it was starting from scratch. When I got to Bar-Ilan, like, I did not know how to get on a bus.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know.
That was so funny because none of us knew how to work Move It.
No one knew how to use public transportation. We had used cars our entire life.
Yeah, that was like, sad. That
we
was
had
sad.
Our parents holding our hands. Exactly. Like, but I got the hang of it and I realized I'm a quick learner. Like, I felt lost, but ever since my appendix was taken out of this country, I felt like I could do anything.
Yeah, no. Fortunately enough, I guess, I didn't have my appendix taken out.
It could burst at any moment, Leora.
God forbid. But I think I just was pushed in the sense where, like, since I have older siblings, I've always been kind of pushed, and I put this own pressure on myself to grow up a little faster. So I think going in the gap year and realizing that I have to do all these adult things, and if I want to stay here, I have to do it even more so, scared me. And I think it put me into a spiral, but I got out of it, and I'm happy, and I'm healthy, and I'm good.
Amen.
Thank God. So yes, there are other negative sides from a gap year.
There's negative sides to
everything.
To everything.
To absolutely everything.
We actually spoke to a friend who did not do a gap year. She jumped straight from high school to university.
And for background, she's from Switzerland. So just know that, like, there's not a large Jewish community there.
And not only that, just in general, a gap year is not really, like, common. Whereas for us, it's expected almost.
It's almost expected, yeah.
Yeah. So she kind of had the flip side of what we grew up with.
Yeah.
And she said that, like, we asked her, like, did you wish you took a gap year? Did you like it? She said that she was kind of ready.
Yeah.
She was ready to jump into university.
Yeah.
And that obviously in the beginning, it was really hard,
Like, she kind of wish she experienced a kind of break from high school. Maybe like, even though she was ready.
Maybe like that stepping stone that we had. She kind of just fully immersed herself into like independence.
Yeah, she mentioned the adult thing, the adulthood thing. How you're still 18 and you're 18 and you're going into a new country and you have to pay your bills, you have to get your own groceries, you have to do all these things at 18, and it's a little crazy. So I think she definitely wanted to experience that break from high school. We mentioned before the stepping stone, but
she definitely like didn't have that stepping stone, but she took that and ran with it. Like, she again mentioned she was ready and she did the thing.
Yeah, so it's not for everyone, but you know,
but everyone has to find what works for them.
Yeah,
also like some people take gap years and just work for a year.
Yeah, just any sort of other experience. But I do think taking that semi fun and adventurous gap year is really important for just your mental health and for your, well, like just your well-being, like just being able to see the world outside of your house that you've lived in for 18 years.
Yeah. And we know it's not possible for anyone, but we're very appreciative that we were able to experience that. We were very blessed.
Yeah, and if anyone does want to experience a gap year and doesn't have the abilities or financial stability, there are many, many programs such as MASA program that allow and offer for scholarships.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of want to move on to, we asked our entire 130 kids Bari Lawn group chat.
I'm going to get that ready because they suck.
We sent a whole voice note being like, we have a podcast. Please send in your funniest memories. So we got a couple.
We got a couple. We got a few.
Got three. We got three responses.
But they're really funny.
You want to go
first? Okay, so it was so funny when we had the rafting trip after our wine tour and we all started drinking on the bus. We all got so drunk with the advisors. With the advisors. It was crazy.
It was so funny.
Oh my God, this next one is crazy.
My apartment burned down because of a menorah. Instead of staying back to help, we all went to the club.
There was literally, this girl lived under our in Bai, which is like the mom of
the campus mom.
Campus mom. It literally burnt down from a menorah. It was like the opposite of a Jewish miracle.
Like one of the drapes caught onto the fire and
it was whack.
And like one girl in a room in like an apartment full of four girls saved all of them. It was crazy.
It was crazy. And then
definitely not funny in the moment, but so funny looking back.
And yeah, she had to move out for a while, but
everyone
went to the club.
Like, everyone went to the club.
Oh, there's a fire. Oh, chill. It's fine.
Actually, that night, there was like not just a friend that's a guy in my room, not anything else. And guys weren't allowed in our rooms, but it was the first time I was like, just come up. Like, nothing's going to happen. It's fine. Like, just hang out with me while I get ready.
Right.
And he had to put on a skirt and climb out because you could see my door.
The fact that he does look like a girl sometimes. Kidding. So another one we got was when we were in a lot, they got a boat for us, and Rabbi Clapper, side point, he was one of our main rabbis on the program, convinced one of the guys to quit nicotine, and he threw his vape off of the boat and we all cheered, and he's quit since that day.
Yeah.
He hasn't had
any nicotine. Which is so powerful if you think about it. It was a crazy moment.
Crazy moment. If we could show pictures on this podcast, that'd be crazy. It was an unreal moment. Everyone on the boat, the boat was like tipping back and forth, but everyone's in a circle like, you
jumping
got
up and
this.
Down, yeah.
You got this. It was crazy.
It was really cool. So we actually, because we didn't get like any responses, we answered it ourselves.
We did some.
I think this first one's you.
Okay. So basically... This is so funny. So I got really high with my roommate one time, and I just met her that day, and we had a massive opening barbecue. Really the first night of Bari Lawn, and I was so blazed, guys. And I spoke to the head of the program. He was one of the heads, and I thought it was the end for me.
You
I was like,
you were getting kicked
I
out.
I was like, he knows, because he was staring at me right in the eyes, and I was like. Oh my god.
They all knew.
They all knew. They all it was probably just kinda smoke like, weed themselves.
It was just kind of like one of those programs where if they don't know, they don't want to get you in trouble because they know you have more to grow on the program.
Yeah.
This was one of my core memories. One random weekday, we all just collectively decided not to go to school and we met at the beach. It was really nice weather. We all met at the beach. We brought our tapestries. Everyone brought their speakers, snacks, alcohol. And we spent hours there dancing and singing and bonding. And I would say, if not all 130 kids, at least 100 of the kids were there.
That was a crazy day. It was unreal.
We took over Gordon Beach. That was so fun.
Yeah, if you guys came there, you would be like, oh my god,
everyone was probably like these annoying Americans. Yeah, but we had the time of our
really
life.
We really did have it was just such a cool thing to even see, the look of it, every towel was attached because no one wanted to be separated. It was so cute. Okay. And then so one time our friend got really, really drunk. I love how it's all about drunk and weed and stuff. I promise you there's other things. But our friend got really, really drunk. We were on a program was on a night out. And she got really drunk. And she's a little clumsy. But we love her. And one of our staff members / head faculty members happens to be the same one that I had a conversation with the first night. He had to pick her up, literally, manhandle her, put her over her.
he put her over his shoulders.
She's just imagine she's so her hands drunk. Just flopping around, and had to carry her home.
It definitely did not seem not in a creepy way. It just seemed like he's dealt with that a lot.
Sadly,
yeah. Not in a creepy way. It was very much
No, he was very much he was a dad. He knew what he was doing. He was trying to protect us.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
I think one of my favorite things wasn't necessarily a memory, but more so how they approached alcohol. And it was kind of we were on a Shabbaton, a weekend getaway, and they would literally say everyone pour a beracha, a l'chaim. It wasn't a shot. It wasn't a shot. So we all would pour shots and they would choose a person and you would have to get up in front of however many people and be say something inspirational and then be my beracha, my blessing to you all is that you have for example, you have a very happy and healthy year, and everyone would cheers
and you go beracha.
Yeah.
What?
Beracha. What? and that made you more in touch with your Judaism. It they approached awesome. Alcohol the right way.
They did.
They knew we were gonna drink anyways, so they
might as well just put a nicer label on it.
Yeah.
Also, do you remember that time we were on a Shabbaton? It just popped up and I got up for a bracha and I literally blinked. I don't know if you remember, but I blinked so much and everyone was slow clap, and I was oh my god, I'm never recovering from that.
Was but it I with did. You that I got lost?
Yes.
We were on the woman's Shabbaton.
Woman's Shabbaton, yeah.
And we got so lost getting 45 back to
minutes.
Dinner.
We were so hungry.
Took us 45 minutes to get to the dinner room because we just waited a little bit before we went with everybody else. I don't know why we did that.
It was a massive kibbutz. We didn't know where to go.
We spent 45 minutes in the pitch black trying to search where to go.
It was crazy.
Finally, we got to the room and everyone's like, where have you been? We're like, we just went through something crazy.
And then we gave a bracha.
And then we gave the most inspirational bracha of our lives. Yo, inspirational. That was crazy.
It was crazy. But yeah, there was a lot more to say, but I hope you gained some perspective. And
just to sum up, if you're able to take that break for yourself, we really believe that the positives of a gap year outweigh the starting life already. You're not on anybody's timeline. So do what you need to do to get in touch with yourself. And
whatever that is.
Whatever it is. Doesn't have to be a gap year, but whatever it is you need to do to get in touch with yourself, do it. Do the thing.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story. It's not about spending a low ton of money on a gap year, but it's about allowing yourself to find yourself and to grow without immediately stepping into the real world again.
100%.
So, are you ready for your egg fact?
I'm ready for the egg fact. Please tell me.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. So.
Excited.
Ready?
Ready.
So, the yolk, the word, is the Old English for yellow. So
what?
Yo,
what?
So that's why it's egg whites and egg yolks. So it used to be egg whites and egg yellows. That's
shut
up. That's crazy.
That's insane.
It was crazy to actually learn that. But yeah, that's the cool egg fact. Hope you enjoyed.
Thank you for listening to Sunny Side Up. Have an excellent day.
Peace and love.
Sunny Side Up. Where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LaChapelle.